Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Today, we're going to be talking about being unapologetically yourself so that you do not lose your identity in parenthood. Hello, my name is Christina Campos, and I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-aged children turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I'm a mom of four kids, a teacher that has taught every grade from preschool through high school, and today I help moms and dads like yourself to navigate that exhausting, confusing, frustrating, but rewarding world of parenting. So welcome to The Impactful Parent. Today, I also have my co-host, Rodrigo Bravo. Rodrigo is a co-parenting mediator out of the state of Texas. He is a parenting coach, and he is a dad of two boys. Rodrigo brings a dad's perspective onto the Impactful Parent stage to give you even more expertise and an added perspective to our parenting topics. Thank you for being here, Rodrigo. Rodrigo, today I'm going to talk about how so many parents lose themselves in parenthood. They just, what happens, it's like a slow death of your personal identity. And I think it happens so often and nobody's really talking about it because you don't even really understand or know when it's happening. Just one day you wake up and then you're like, what happened to me? I used to do this and I used to do that. And I used to love, you know, playing tennis. And then you don't anymore. And I feel like so many parents even get resentful that they've given up so much of themselves for their families. And then that leaves us in this really icky place. So I wanted to talk about that today. How are dads dealing with losing their identity because they have to sacrifice so much for family?
Yeah, I think that's a great topic because I think this is something that happens both for women and men, where we accept these roles that are kind of predetermined in society, right? And we fall into them, pre-children. You know, we grow up and we kind of, you know, there's, you know, the guys are going to do this, the ladies are going to do this, you know, et cetera, right? But then when, you know, we get into actual parenthood, we start kind of shedding some of the things that really make us who we are. And as parenthood continues, that really does take a toll on you, right? Because a lot of times we are more than our parenting, but often we are defined by our parenting. When we take our kids out there to, you know, I don't know, baseball practice, music lessons, or just shopping or somewhat, we're often judged by that first. That's the very first thing that people will look at, like, oh, how's he treating his kids? How's he taking care of his kids? I'm a mediator here in the state of Texas, and one of the things that I do is I help co-parents get together and you know, kind of find solutions to co-parenting. And a lot of times, the gentlemen, they're really kind of struggling with that. You know, they're like, hey, you know, I'm a dad. I'm, you know, trying to support for my kids. But they also want to be, you know, doing things that they probably shouldn't be at that point. You know, why? Because they're trying to reclaim their identity. They're trying to, you know, figure out how's the right way of doing that. And there's nothing wrong with kind of, you know, reaching out for who you are outside of your kids. And so I think for both of us, I think this will be a good conversation because you could share maybe your perspective and what you see. And I could definitely share my perspective because I definitely went through that. I was a young parent myself, and I definitely went through the struggles of, you know, having my parenthood, my fatherhood define me for quite a while.
Yeah, I think that it starts with this expectation that we have about parenting. Like, this is what a mom should look like, and this is what a dad should look like. And in fact, we have a video that complements this theory. I'll show it to you right now.
Video is showing a woman who is dressing grumpy in the beginning and then changing her style to express her unique self. Different clothes, different hats, fun and sassy.
And what I love about that video is that she is being unapologetically herself, which is amazing. She threw away those stereotypes of being of what she thought a mom is supposed to be, and she's being herself, which actually serves your kids so much more. And yet we still fall into this parent trap of wanting to fill a certain box. This happened to me, and I didn't wake up until my divorce. I literally was crying on the floor of my closet daily when my marriage was falling apart. And it was shocking to me when I finally decided to pull my bootstraps up and force myself to move forward, that when I looked in the mirror, I was like, what am I now? If I'm not going to be a wife and I'm going to be a single mom, like, I don't even know what single moms, what is that supposed to look like? And so I started reexamining like who I was, and I did not recognize myself in the mirror. I had not taken care of myself the way I should have. And what I mean by that, not necessarily my health and things I was eating, although I probably was eating more crappy then too, but I stopped playing tennis. I used to play tennis growing up daily. I stopped going out with my friends. I stopped, you know, watching even TV shows that I liked, because instead I felt like, oh, I needed to put on something that was more entertaining for the kids, or I did something more for my husband, you know? So I watched stuff I didn't even care about because I was putting them first. And women in general do this all the time. Like, we put our families first. And that's wonderful and it's noble. And I want to even say it's necessary in most cases. But when you can't, when you're not one of your top five priorities yourself, like, you need to be in the top five. Maybe your kid is over here at number one, but you need to be over here at two or three, because then otherwise we start falling away and losing who we are. And I did, I was resentful. I was like, why did I do all that? Why did I give all that up for what? And it got me angry. And I can't be alone in that feeling, that I was to wake up and not to realize that I had, I don't want to say wasted, because it wasn't wasted. I just wasn't me anymore. And that was really heartbreaking to me. And then you start thinking, where do I begin? How do I rebuild myself again? I don't have time, you know? And my question to you is, I know dads go through something very similar, where you guys are really striving to, I must provide for the family. I must work and bring in the money. And I feel like that's a pretty equal stereotype for men and pressure. But what do you lose because of that stereotype when you embrace that I'm going to provide? And there's even some resentment with women toward men on this, because men, let's say it's Thanksgiving morning. Thanksgiving morning, women are preparing the turkey. They're setting out the dishes. They're all, you know, they're running around the house like a chicken crazy with the head cut off, right? And what does a man do? I'm going to go work out this morning. And she looks at her husband and goes, you're going to go work out this morning. Okay. But he's prioritizing himself and his health. He goes out, he goes and works out. In the meantime, she's going crazy, still trying to organize Thanksgiving dinner. And again, that resentment starts to kick in, not only toward her kids, but also to her husband, when he starts to put himself first. And that's not okay either, because he's actually doing probably what he should. So how do we break these stereotypes and stop being resentful?
Yeah, those are great examples. And that is a real feeling, you know, the resentment, the feeling. I know you don't mean wasted. I think for me, I think a lot of folks, when they're going through those initial feelings, they may say lost, you know, like they lost, you know, some time to themselves. You know, we don't ever say we wasted our time raising our kids, right? But we definitely lose a part of ourselves whenever we have our kids, because, you know, they become our responsibility, and they are, you know, we got to take care of them. I would actually start first by challenging the first idea that you had about, you know, maybe, you know, top five, right? And I came to terms with it, and I said, you know what? I'm number one. I'm number one. If I can't take care of myself, how can I take care of somebody else? You know, it's just that simple. Now that doesn't mean that there are going to be times when I got to do something for my kids that might, you know, put me, you know, I don't know, behind at work or behind in something else, whatever. But for the most part, I especially towards the latter journey of my father, of my parenthood, I definitely prioritize myself. I always made sure that, you know, I took care of myself, that I had my mental health wellness, that I was working out, et cetera, so forth. And I think when we do that, you know, we're really putting ourselves to become a better person, which in turn you become a better parent. I think it's really hard if we identify ourselves strictly as a parent, because here's the thing, you know, eventually your kids move. Your kids are not supposed to be staying with you when they're like, you know, 35 or 25, you know, I mean, you know, nowadays kids stay a little bit longer, right? Now that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. My son, he's 19 and he lives with me. Nothing wrong with that. But eventually your kids leave. Your kids leave and your parenthood, you know, it never ends, but it kind of does. It kind of, you know, that's kind of, you know, you're done with that. And if you've defined yourself the entire time by your parenthood, you're really going to feel lost once they move, once they find that girlfriend, once they go to college, once they find a job and, you know, they're no longer coming in and so forth. So I think at the end of the day, it's not just about, you know, picking yourself, but also, you know, making sure that, hey, I'm preparing. I'm supposed to be making sure that I'm right. When it comes to that, you know, you often do have folks that maybe are on different paths when it comes to parenting. You know, you gave that example of, you know, a father going out to work out and meanwhile, mom's at home, you know, definitely communication. You know, two parents, y'all should be communicating and giving each other time, you know, making sure like, hey, what do you need on a daily? What do you need on a weekly? You know, what's going on? I know that when I'm coaching parents, co-parents, you know, I tell them like with their new partners, you know, with the partners that they have, make sure y'all communicate and make that time so that y'all do have time away. You know, one thing that I absolutely love is when one of my clients tells me, oh yeah, I don't have the kids this weekend, so I'm going to go have fun. Yeah. I encourage that. I definitely tell folks, hey, you know what? Go have fun. You know, do what you got to do. Whatever you got to do to bring yourself back, because you got to be fully charged to be a great parent. And, you know, when your kids are in the house all the time, especially for my custodial moms, the ones that have to take care of their kids, I would say basically about 80% of the time, you know, those first, third, and fifth weekends and those Wednesday dinners or whatever agreement you have, you got to cherish those moments. You got to make sure you take advantage of them, you know? And so I totally get that. Those are the moments that you got to take time for yourself, recharge. I also have worked with clients who cannot disconnect. They like, oh, I just text my kid and I just did this and I'm going to go over there and buy this and that. And I just see, and I'm not a counselor. I'm definitely not a counselor. I'm not a therapist or anything like that. But I can definitely see when folks, you know, may need a little bit more help than I can provide, because I see something bigger in that, you know, where they're not being able, there's some attachment issues, perhaps. Maybe there's some coping that needs going on. You know, at the end of the day, we need to have our own identities. Our kids develop their own identities. They certainly show it to us, you know. We need to make sure that we maintain our own identities as well. And I love that video. You know, when we saw that video, I guess it's fair to say that she posted pictures that she definitely felt were highlighting the stereotypical attire that a mom would wear, right? So she, you know, she had the little pantsuit, and I mean, she looks like she just stepped out of a PTA meeting, you know what I mean? You know, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing fine. But when you start dressing like that every single day, you know, and that's not you, you know, that's going to lead to some conflict. That's going to lead to some cognitive dissonance within yourself. And so when you see the pictures of her, you know, with makeup on, coloring, you know, putting color in her hair, having a different clothes, you could just see that she's happy in that. that environment, that context. I'll leave with it. I'll end it right here. I also think that's a part of kind of changing society's view of what a mom or a dad should look like or how they should behave. A lot of society, again, has us that, like, once you become a parent, that's it. You know, you put up the dance shoes, you put up the earrings, you put up, you know, everything. You don't color your hair no more. You wear these big, thick glasses and you walk around and drive a minivan. And that's simply not it. You don't need to do all that to be a great parent. You could definitely be yourself, whether that's an emo person, whether that's a goth person, whether it's a hip hop person, or you know, whatever, whoever you are, whatever, you know, constitutes you, you could be that person and a great parent. So I'm really happy that you played that video, and it just goes to show how important it is that we do stay connected with ourselves.
I have two different personalities, like, truly, maybe probably even actually much more than two, but I do separate my parent self and my other self, and my kids get glimpses of this other self, but this other self is mine, and I like hold it dear now that I have regained it back after my meltdown after the marriage, you know, after the rebuilding of that process. I hold it dear now, and I give them glimpses of it. I don't want them to know that Christina fully yet until they're an adult. And my older children are now beginning to lean into that older Christina that they didn't know before. That mom, that's not really a mom. That's now more of another adult that they get to have a relationship with. And it's fun. It's been really fun you know, going out with my 21-year-old son and have him see his mom in a completely different light, good and bad, that I'm human. But it is so important for parents to unapologetically be themselves in front of their kids to some degree, because we're role modeling that they should also, the kid should also be unapologetically themselves. We want so much for our kids to express themselves however it is that they feel inside. And that's the healthiest way to be for mental health, for everything. So we got to lead the charge in that. And I think it's really, really important that we realize that when we're holding back, you are also demonstrating that to your child. Like, I just did a whole video on kids who are trying so hard to fit in that they're changing themselves. They're doing things that they don't typically do so that they can feel that sense of belonging. And you actually don't want your kids to fit in, because fitting in means changing for a group, where belonging means, hey, I have this feeling that I belong. I'm unapologetically myself and I'm being accepted for who I am. And that is so much more healthy. And how do our kids learn how to do that unless we lead the way? And to lead the way, we have to be intentional. Otherwise, you lose yourself, or at least I speak for a lot of women in that regard. And I feel like it's the same for men, that for moms, you get swept up in taking care of everybody else so easily that if you are not completely intentional about being you and doing things that you love and taking care of yourself, and I know everybody hears it, self-care, be self-care, do self-care. But it's true. You have to do that so that you can be a better parent. And I love that you're putting yourself first. I love that. I will admit, I still am not there. My journey is not putting myself first, but I'll be damned, I'm going to be second. And any opportunity I get, I will pull myself up to number one and say, hey, kids, this is mom's time. I need this for me. And now my kids are old enough to really understand that. And they get it. They are my biggest cheerleaders. They will say, yeah, mom, go ahead, go out. We're good. We're fine. See you in a couple hours. And that is a fantastic feeling when your kids support you in being you. And one of the things that I want to point out that you said that was just, yes, brilliant. I also tell my clients that when you're trying to be yourself, you're real unapologetically you, how you dress really matters. So like what you were talking about with the video, if you are a mom that is constantly wearing yoga pants and dressing thrumpy, I'm going to say the word thrumpy, because you're just grabbing something and throwing it on because it's comfortable and you don't care how you look and you're just trying to get the kids off to school and make the breakfast and whatever, that's okay, but it can't be daily. If you are not intentionally, again, being you, then you becomes thrumpy. I don't want you to be thrumpy. How you dress matters. And it like changes something in your brain on how you feel that day. And so I encourage my clients to once a week dress up for no reason. Great if you have a reason, but if you don't have one, it doesn't matter. Once a week, put on some jeans, do your hair, do your makeup the way it is that you love, you know, whatever that looks like for you, and dress that way. And even though it's a pain in the ass in the morning and it takes you more time than you want, especially for women, by the end of the day, you feel better. You feel more like you walking around in the neighborhood. And so it's a very small shift, but it is a shift that could make a big impact for a lot of women. So I would assume that men are very similar in that they need to also put on some jeans and, you know, trim up the beard so it looks nice instead of like getting it scraggly. Like, you know, unless they want it scraggly, that's a whole different look. But then again, it's intentional. It's intentionally doing things to make you feel good. And I don't know which men or women who does this better, but it's something I think we all need a shift toward. And I have a question for you. So I want to go back to this idea that women are always going, okay, we got to put the kids first. And men have that stereotype of, I need to provide. Do you feel like dads fall into the work too much trap because of that pressure of having to provide, which is too bad because now they're losing time with their kids?
Yeah. I think a lot of times, not only are men defined by their fatherhood, they're also defined by their work. Society values men that are doing, you know, work and whatnot. And, you know, we want to work, but it's also kind of, hey, you're the provider. You're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be doing that. And especially if you haven't achieved a certain level of income, a lot of men feel that pressure, right? Hey, I got to get a second job. I got to do this. I'm not saying you're not supposed to feel that way in a certain sense. We all want to be providers. We all want to do that. But when it starts taking a mental toll on you and when it starts becoming who you are, that's when it starts taking a different turn. Because now, you know, you get home, you've worked, and you're stressed out. And are you going to be really playing with your kids or, you know, hanging out with them? Probably not. You're going to be wanting to just hang out, watch TV, etc. It's going to be difficult. So it's really important to find that balance. Find that balance at work. Find that balance at home. As a parent, find that balance. You don't always have to be 100% on the clock. You gave that example earlier of, you know, of a man work of the dad working out while mom stays at home. That might be the agreement they have. You know, maybe you know, you get that 1 hour. 1 hour and a half, go out to the gym, do what you got to do, burn it off, this, et cetera. I know that used to be my kind of calling. You know, I would definitely, hey, I'm going to go to the gym and do my thing, you know, or whatnot. Okay, good to deal. And then on the flip side, it's like, hey, I'm going to go have a drink with the girls. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, this and that. That was kind of, you know, an agreement there, you know, because we both knew that we needed that. We needed to make sure that we have that space, that kind of oasis, right, to just be ourselves and be chill instead of having to be turning it on all the time with our parenthood. I will say this, from the clients that I work with in the co-parenting realm and also in the mediation realm, I have to say it's really hard for the ladies, for single moms out there, to turn it off. I see it time and time again. It's never off. You're always, I mean, and the reason for that, you know, if I recall correctly, it's about 82% of custodial parents are women in the co-parenting relationships. So that means that they're taking care of, and I used this stat earlier too, 80% of the time, they're the ones taking care of everything. The only times that they don't have that they don't worry about it, it's supposed to be the first, third, and fifth weekend, and some, you know, whatever times you have over there. But even then, you know, it's not really off for them. It's really tough because, hey, you know what? Sunday evening, boom. Okay, I'm preparing lunches. I'm getting schedules ready. Did you do your homework? Do you have this or your clothes, this and that? Where a lot of times, and I'm saying this both because of my clients, but also personal experience. I was the fun dad on the weekends. You know, my kids would be with me on the weekends. I pick them up at 6. Hey, all right, let's go. You know, and we do little activities. We'd hang out. We'd play video games. But then I drop them off at 6, and that was it. You know, and I kind of didn't have to worry about them. You know, and I'm just being very honest. You know, I mean, I worried about them, but did I worry about them the same way that, you know, my co-parenting partner did? Absolutely not. You know, she had the short end of the stick when it came to that. And so I think a lot of times we don't understand that burden that really the moms play, that they have to carry day in and day out, that they seriously, for the most part, almost cannot take a break. And are always constantly having it on and always constantly worried about this. What's the next thing? This and that. Where, and I'll finish right here. A lot of the men that I work with, I have a hard time having them realize, hey, man, she's doing a lot of work, man. You know, you get them first, third, and fifth weekend. That's great. You pay your child support. That's great. But I promise you, the work that she's doing, you probably have no idea what she's really going through. And so I think there is pressure on men, right, to be that father and be the providers. But when it comes to especially co-parenting relationships, I don't think the men have it as tough as women do. Just being very honest with you, I think the moms have the short end of the stick when it comes to that. Whether that's fair or unfair, I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, that's really what the majority of co-parenting relationships show. And honestly, a lot of family units, you know, where you know, mom is there and dad's there, and it's the same thing, kind of. You know, what I'm saying, hey, I provide the checks. You're the one that got to cook. You got to do this. You got to do that, and you probably still have another job as well. So, you know, that's my take on that, Christina.
You know, I so appreciate you acknowledging the hard work of mothers, because I don't think there's many men who really do get it. And as a single mom, I actually feel I have more time to myself than when I was married. But that was the agreement that my ex-husband and I had. I was to take care of the children, and he was to be a provider. And we liked those stereotypical roles. We thought it was going to be a good blend. To this day, we still, even as a divorced couple, co-parenting, keep those roles. But instead of being on it 24/7 with another person to care for, aka my ex-husband, as a single mom, I actually have a little bit of windows of opportunity when he does come and visit or takes the kid for the weekend to go and be unapologetically myself. But then again, it has to be really intentional for me to do that. I have to make sure that I'm filling up my cup in those small windows of opportunity so that I can be a better mom during the week. And I can get easily resentful with the amount of work that and efforts. And just, it's exhausting, like you were talking mm-hmm. about, to be a mother. It's exhausting because it's always top of mind. It's always something to think about and worry about and be two steps ahead and all the things. Easy to fall down that trap. And I'm sure there are moms listening to this right now who are like, yes, we shouldn't have to do all the work. This sucks. Like, they should be 50-50. But I'm going to say that in order to get out of that resentment rut, I really had to take a couple steps back and say, this is really how I wanted things to be. I really did want to be the one to take care of my kids. Mm. I really wanted to be the one to raise them and be there for them when they needed me. And so, although my ex-husband gets to be fun dad and have amazing fun time with the kids on the weekends, I am on the daily grind. But there is so much value in the daily grind. And I think that we get exhausted as moms, as parents, if dads who are the custodial parent, you get exhausted in that grind. But I'm here to remind you that there is so much value there. You are the one, when your kids are breaking down and need something, you will be the first one that they call. You are the one that when they don't know what to do and they need help, you will be the first one to call. And isn't that what you wanted? For me, it was. Now, if you said no to that and you're like, no, I only want them to call me half the time. Okay, well, then you need to go talk to Rodrigo, go get some co-parenting services and figure out how to make it more equal. I'm just going to I had to get there. This was the journey I had to take personally to get out of that resentment rut and embrace the parent that I am. And I would love to have more fun days with my kids. And I could be more intentional about that and do that. But it's okay. I'm okay now once I've accepted that to be in that space. And then it's just that much more important for me to take that time to rest or be unapologetically myself when I have those windows of opportunity. So that's what I think about that.
No, I think that's fantastic. I think that's, we all have goals, and I definitely understand, you know, those goals where when I say that we're looking for ourselves, it doesn't mean that we're not looking at our kids at the same time. But like you, I really want to stress what you said earlier about modeling the behavior. You know, if we want our kids to grow into their own selves, we have to do that as well. And what better way than to really do that, right? You said to yourself, you know, hey, I'm going to communicate with my kid. We're going to talk. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Hopefully your kid starts, you know, reflecting that. They start being more communicative with you. They start talking. They start relying on you. I know that I've personally experienced that with my boys, where my oldest son, Rodrigo, and I, we didn't speak for a while, but I kept at it and I kept telling him, hey, I love you. Okay. You know, let me know when we talk. Now we have a great relationship. We talk all the time, and it was just building that, you know, and he relies on me. He'll call me and we talk about things and et cetera. I think, you know, there's no reason why the two can't coexist, where you can be yourself, but by being yourself, you're telling your kid, hey, it's cool to be who you are, and I accept you for who you are, because I expect you to accept me for who I am. My boys, they know that, you know, I travel a lot, so they understand, like, hey, dad's gonna be gone for a while, you know what I'm saying? My youngest son, he's when he sees me, he's like, oh my god, I don't know when I'm gonna see you again, you know. I'm like, whatever. But he accepts that. And I want him to have that same attitude where, like, hey, I'm going to do what I got to do, you know, and if I got to go out of town, if I got to do this, I got to do that, you know, hey, we're all comfortable with that, where there's not this. And one thing about with him is there's a trust there. So there's not this constant kind of like, hey, what are you doing? Or, hey, this and that. He sees that I trust him. And by the same token, he trusts me. He knows that I'm going to do right, that I'm going to be out there, you know, doing what I got to do. But that I'm going to be, you know, taking care of things at the same time. One last note on that. I think when we model that behavior and we show our kids, you know, who we are, we kind of break down those walls. There's a lot of walls for us growing up, right? Where our parents, they felt like, hey, we're elevated. You know, we're supposed to act a certain way. And we're not going to show you our flaws. We're not going to show you our fights. We're not going to show you this. We're not going to show you that. And in fact, even if we do fight, even if we do this, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be a certain type of way. And I think there was a kind of a illusion there, or really a disillusionment that we suffered. A lot of kids in our generations that are now parents, we suffered through that because we did. We saw our parents in a totally different way where they didn't share that stuff with us. So when we find out that, hey, I found out that my dad did this, or like, hey, he was a jerk, or hey, mom was like, you know, drinking or something, whatever the case may be, we're like stunned, you know, we're like, man, you know, this, didn't expect this, you know, this and that. I'm not saying we share everything with our kids. Obviously, there's things that, you know, we're adults and, you know, they're kids. So there has to be some type of barriers there. But for example, like when we have a sad moment in our life, there's nothing wrong with showing emotion. You know, there was countless moments and growing up that, you know, we had sad moments and I was told not to cry. I was told not to like experience it. You know, like, hey, toughen up, you know, don't do that shit. You know, don't cry. I was like, okay. And so it's tough, you know, because there's this veneer that, you know, we grew up in, whether it's machismo, whether it's a facade of like a good household when really there's a lot of fighting going on, substance abuse, you know, emotional abuse, physical abuse, all these things that are going on that a lot of times us growing up in that generation, we just kind of had to deal with it or turn another eye and then like pretend it didn't exist. And so I think for us as parents, we could definitely do better than that by just being honest. Just being honest whenever we feel, you know, something, whenever we want to do something or, you know, something going on or you have a goal or this and that. And be honest in that. Be honest in our victories. Be honest in our defeats. And just be honest with ourselves, because then our kids, they're better prepared. Because at the end of the day, and I'll finish right here, they're going to see that and they're like, okay, I'm not supposed to win all the time, or I'm not going to win every time. You know, there's going to be moments when I do lose or I do fail, but that's okay. And how do I handle that? Well, I saw how mom handled it. So, okay, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to handle it this way, you know? And okay, dad, you know, he didn't get the promotion, you know, but, you know, and he was upset about it, but he told me how he felt about it. But blah, blah, blah. I think we're better preparing our kids to not only for us to be honest with them, but for them to be honest with themselves. And also for them to have an honest assessment and perspective into what life may bring to them.
Yes, yes, and yes to all of that. It's whether you're the custodial parent or not, I want parents to remember that it's about the quality of time that you're spending with your child and not the quantity. And there are so much research to back that up, that it doesn't matter if you're a dad who is working all the time and maybe only gets to see their kids on a weekend or whatever your situation might be, but it is about quality of time that's so much more important. And part of that quality is that our kids are seeing us and that we are spending that time with them as us. And maybe you're a busy mom that's only stuck in the cleaning of the house and the cooking of the dinners. But are you really spending quality time with your kids so that they can develop that trust? And part of that trust is all these things that we're talking about. Like when we do something bad, that we go back to our kids and we just say, I'm sorry, that was not a good part of me that you saw. And I apologize for it. But, you know, sometimes I don't think before I say stuff, or I don't think before I act. And you just have to come back and make that quality time about being unapologetically yourself. And I think that it just brings so much value to your kids. And even more so if you have a child that is lost in their identity, who's trying so hard to fit in when they can't at school, or maybe you have an LGBTQ child and they're lost in figuring out who they are, or any of all of the above, any kid, teenagers just in general are so lost in trying to figure out where their place is. And if they have a parent who's really spending that quality time with them, like engaging and coming back and apologizing for bad things that maybe that person that we did, you know, and that wasn't so great, mm-hmm. and saying, did you like this? And really just that engagement. I can't even express it enough, but it's a full realm of engagement that you're really committing to your child. It's not about how long you're doing it. It's about just checking in for 15 minutes a day. And that might be enough.
But yeah, no, I agree with you. And I just wanted to make the point really quick. It's not about being right. It's about doing right. And yes. So sometimes we are going to screw up. We are going to mess up. And, you know, we're not going to be right. We're not asking parents, you got to be perfect and model that behavior for your kids. That's not going to happen. We all have our characters. We all have our flaws. We have our imperfections. That I'm not saying, and I know, Christina, you're not saying, like, we got to be perfect all the time. No. You don't have to be right all the time. You just got to do right. What does that mean? That means when you screw up, be honest about it. Be, you know, make it right, you know, and just say, damn, I screwed up. You know, I got mad and I shouldn't have, you know, and let your kids know that it's perfectly natural to have these emotions, to have, you know, reactions, to act in a certain way, but that you're learning from it. And then hopefully, you know, you improve yourself, but also that they don't have to be 100% right either. And that gives them, you know, a better understanding and a better perspective, really, of how they're going to navigate the world. I just wanted to add that in because you basically said that right now. And I think that's really important to emphasize how important that is.
Absolutely. Yes. And thank you for articulating it better, because that's exactly the point. I love that. It's not about being right. It's about doing right. I am going to write it down because that's a nugget. And so I just challenge parents at the end of this episode to, you know, look back and go, what kind of quality time are you engaging with your child? Are you watching movies where you're not really talking to each other? Or are you watching a movie and then discussing it? You know, are you having dinners without devices? You know, can you make that rule where you're putting them down so you can have a conversation? Because it's not about the quantity of time. It's really just about checking in every day and making sure that you are also leading the way of, hey, this is me, this is who I am, good and bad, and this is it. So I'm your mom. I hope you love me anyway. and in return, I will love you for whoever you are. And it doesn't matter. You will also be right and wrong. And just having that open, real, that communication, that honesty, that coming back and doing right the way you are saying. So I think it's just really important. Go out and be yourself. Be unapologetically you. Thank you for joining us today. Remember that this episode is just a small part of what the Impactful Parent offers. Also available are online courses, parent support groups, coaching services, and the Impactful Parent app. You can find out more by going to theimpactfulparent.com. And if you would like to reach out to Rodrigo Bravo for his co-parenting mediation and coaching services, you can email him at rodrigobravojr@gmail.com. And become a more impactful parent by downloading the Impactful Parent app. The Impactful Parent app is free so that you can carry help, tips, and parenting resources right in your pocket. Discover new techniques to make your parenting more effective and get parenting resources that are just going to make your life easier. Download the app today. It's free. So all you need to go is to your phone's app store and look up Impactful Parent, and I'll be there. Or theimpactfulparent.com will also give you a link. But until next time, you got this. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. Go to the Impactful Parent website and download the free Impactful Parent app so you don't miss a parenting tip that could help you and your family. Thanks for listening today. So go to theimpactfulparent.com and see you next episode.